again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and we're going back into the lab. I think it's been a little while since we've gone into the lab for a George Harrison tune.
I had time to starch my coat, my white coat. Yep, you've got my new goggles on here.
Uh-huh, yep, you're ready to get out of that old brown shoe here, I think.
Right.
Which, and, you know, to get this started out, I have to say, this my favorite Beatles single is probably Paperback Writer Rain, but yep. I think The Ballad of John and Yoko and this song, the B-side, Old Brown Shoe, might be my second favorite. I've always had a huge soft spot for Old Brown Shoe.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was I think it was in the Rolling Stone Record Guide many years ago, and it said, how the hell did Old Brown Shoe get on the Blue Album? And I'm glad it did, because it adds a lot, and it's such a cool tune, such a funky George song, and I'm excited we're talking about it. So what's your initial thought on Old Brown Shoe?
I've always liked it. I've always found it odd.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's
yeah.
Definitely, George is more odd of a guy and more esoteric of a dude and has some weird turns of phrase. So definitely, I'm stepping out of this Old Brown Shoe. And what does that mean, too? We'll get into all of that. But I would like to start. I think probably a good place to start is the music.
Yes.
He says in I Need Mine, sometimes you look up this stuff. Like we'll talk about a Paul song. Now we got the lyrics and we can go to the lyrics book, and there's like a 20-minute episode on it, perhaps, on the lyrics podcast.
With Paul Muldoon.
But he said like maybe four things about it. Like two sentences. And that's the way I Mean Mine is. It's just
that's a very disappointing book.
Yeah. But he did say about the music, I started the chord sequences on the piano, which I don't really play.
Which is great. I love that.
That's all he has to say about the music. A very jaunty song, huh?
It is. It's very very honky-tonky on the piano. And yep. They play it kind of an old, like a jangly piano on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can hear a couple of versions. They tried to start playing it during the Get Back sessions, right after it was the 27th and 28th maybe of January. They ran through it, and you can hear some bootlegs on YouTube, and it's got a very different drum beat. It doesn't have that shuffly ba-doom, 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 that we know now. It's more just straight ahead. So George went through a lot of phases on the music here, but it's to me, the things that stand out musically, just instrumentally, you've got that shuffle beat. Mm-hmm. Which is really interesting. The really hot bass and guitar pairings, the doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo things. And then the organ really stands out too, just instrumentally. But it's a complex song from a chord progression. And I think George said something interesting there, that when you don't play an instrument, sometimes he plays it, but not play it well or regularly. You sometimes find things that sound different because you're out of your usual comfort zone.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And
your usual habits of I'm gonna play E and then I do this. And
exactly.
When I play C chords on the guitar, I add that little extra note.
Yeah.
That makes my sound a little different. It's like when you're rough on it. There's an album from a artist, PJ Harvey, who I'm a big fan of, and she was like, I'm gonna learn piano for this album, and I find that to be one of her most fascinating albums, White Chalk, because it's like she didn't know the piano, and so the piano sounds very rudimentary and kind of like she plays like kind of a broken piano. It feels sort of spooky. So this is similar. If he's starting the chord sequences on the piano, it's like it is a weird chords.
It is. It's kind of a lot of what we call in the business, the music theory business, some modal mixture, because we're in C, but we've got A flats and augmented chords. It's just got like a lot of complex harmonies and chords in there.
Yeah.
And that makes it even more impressive that when you have the guitar solo, which I think is one of George's best, it's tough to play over those chords because they don't fall where you expect them to. So he did a great job playing over it. But
if I sat here, I could probably sing you the guitar solo.
Yeah.
And it would sound crazy.
Yeah,
if
it
I'm
is.
I'm just singing it because it's like, but it's perfect in the song. It just sounds like absolutely perfect for the odd chord changes. I think the song has a urgency to it. It seems like it's a little sloppy.
Yeah.
And recorded perhaps a little slapdash.
Yeah.
In fact, I you know, sometimes with these, I'll do that. I know that you can't stand doing this, but I'll do that thing where somebody's taken all the tracks and separated them.
Oh,
so it's
yeah.
like just the bass track.
Yeah.
It's just, and individually the tracks sound like almost like, I don't know, not polished.
Like run throughs, or they're learning the tune.
Yeah. So, but all together, it makes the song have this urgency and almost feel a little rushed.
That's such a great point because the song has two feels. So you've got the shuffle, which is very much on the edge. And then it kind of lays back in the bridge. When I grow up, I'll be a singer. It changes feel there, but it's still a little bit on the edge. So there is kind of a franticness to the song. And I wonder, so here's the first question about the music that we have to ask. This surprised people a lot because I'm looking right now at my Abbey Road Deluxe Edition book.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you look at the instrumentation and the personnel.
Oh, no. I know it's coming.
You know it's coming. You see George, lead vocal, guitars, organ. You see John, piano, backing vocal.
Here goes our comment section.
Here it comes. Yeah, here come the comment section. Yep. Paul, drums, bass, backing vocal. So for all these years, we've been told that Ringo, oh, that's such a great shuffle beat. He's got that cool beat. Was it really Paul all the time? And we don't have confirmation from Ringo, but he was gone during the session. He was doing the Magic Christian, I think. So it seems to be Paul on the drums. What are your thoughts on all this? Who's the mystery drummer?
Listener, whoever you think played drums, I completely agree with you. Do we have to get so nasty in these forums where people are like, you don't know anything about music if you think it's Paul playing the drums on this.
Right.
That Abbey Road thing is wrong. Like, I know better than you. It's like that. It's like that heavily.
Yeah. It had to be Ringo.
Had to be Ringo. There's no way Paul could possibly play that shuffle beat.
Right.
And then there's other people. It's like, well, maybe, Paul played the initial thing, but Ringo came in and that's really Ringo on the track. I don't know. And guess what? I don't care that much.
No.
I at least don't care enough to get into a fight with somebody on an online forum. What are we doing here?
No.
You know, let's be nicer to each other, everyone.
Exactly. And it'd be one thing if the if the drumming wasn't very good, but it's perfectly fine, whoever it was. And,
yeah. Yeah.
You know,
it was good.
We know Paul played drums on several songs on the White Album, and we know he was there and can play. So it doesn't really matter.
We both agree Ringo's a better drummer than Paul.
Yeah, definitely.
So
it doesn't matter. But what stands out is that John, I found actually interesting, was that John was playing that piano, the honky-tonk piano, which is kind of cool. And then George on the organ and lead vocal. So another thing that stands out is that lick, the answered
and then it gets vocaled.
Vocalized at the end. Isn't that one of the coolest endings of a Beatles song? Because it's so ragged and they're just having a good time with it.
Yeah, when I was calling it sloppy too, I was not insulting it.
No.
I like the sloppiness and the urgency of it. And well, when we get to the cover versions, I'll say another thing about all that.
Yeah, it's the feel that we're looking at. And that's why in we talked about this on the review of the new Red and Blue remixes, but the Giles Martin version forgot to include the lick a few times.
Yeah. That's weird. And I'm not sure if that's been fixed or if they're going to plan on fixing it, or there's also some speculation that at some point we'll get a remix of it.
Okay.
Because we've got that gap of Yellow Submarine and Magical Mystery Tour that we haven't had a full Giles Martin remix set. But this was one of the tracks the haters of Giles Martin pointed to that and just was really like thumbing their nose at Giles Martin's scum. He shouldn't be touching these tracks.
Yeah.
Remember that one lady who was like, they're painting over the Rembrandt.
That's right. I remember that line. Lady. Yeah. No, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So all that is to say, there's a lot going on musically. It's very complex. It's very George, very quirky.
Yeah.
And interesting. And I think you want to talk about the lyrics a little bit here, which are also kind of quirky and George.
Well, in I Me Mind, he goes on and on and on about, no, he says, it's about the duality of things. Yes, no, up, down, left, right, wrong, etc.
Doesn't that sound like another song by Paul?
Well, that's why I was like, is this a cousin to Hello, Goodbye?
Right.
And, you know, Hello, Goodbye, you know, very clever, but not super complex. These are more clever lyrics, very George, clever, like, of course, the short-haired girl who sometimes wears it twice as long.
Yeah.
The wearing rings on every finger, the little tip of the hat to Ringo there. For your sweet top lip, I'm in the queue. Do you like that lyric?
Especially the way he sings it, because it's kind of awkwardly crammed. The frantic, that was such a great point. Hecticness of the song. It means some of the lyrics are very rushed too. And they're, for your sweet top lip, I'm in the queue.
Yeah.
Baby, I'm in love with you. So he's kind of cramming some stuff in there. It's interesting.
This is from the Beatles lyrics, which we've read from many times.
Hunter Davies.
Yeah. On the surface, it's a simple, fairly corny love song. For your sweet top lip, I'm in the queue. But George is agonizing away behind the scenes, trying to tell us that opposites, right and wrong, left and right, love and hate, are all part of each other. And in heaven, we are all one anyway. The material world is an illusion. So but then he says, the title Old Brown Shoe comes from a passing remark in the first verse, stepping out of this old brown shoe, which I take to mean stepping out of this old worn out materialistic life down here. So even this old brown shoe, at least, is being interpreted by Hunter as more spiritual.
Philosophical George again here. Yeah. Oh, could be. I was thinking of it as, I'm stepping out of this old brown shoe, like I'm getting out of the Beatles thing to show my stuff. Kind of show like what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck in this old brown shoe with two songs on an album. And now I'm going to step out here. So I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But lyrically, what do you think of the, I may appear to be imperfect. My love is something you can't reject. Fast, going faster than the weather.
Yeah. I like it. I like the lyrics of this. Like I said, it's lyrically better, I think, than Hello, Goodbye.
Yeah,
I
mean, definitely. I
love Hello, Goodbye. Don't get me wrong, but lyrically, it's like clever. It's smart. You know, it's not an idiot writing this song. So
No.
B-side, you know, obviously the first release of this was the B-side to Ballad of John and Yoko, which makes for a great single, as you said. And then it may have been obscure as hell if it hadn't been put on Blue for whatever reason in 1973. So I think it's become a more popular track since then. Obviously, it was on Past Masters. There's an Anthology 3 version.
Yes.
With George vocals with piano, guitar overdubs. And I really think that's quite enjoyable version. Without the drums, it still has the correct feel to it without drums there still somehow. So pretty good.
And the reason for that supposedly was that the group wasn't getting it, and George wanted to lay down. He laid down three tracks that day or day or two with Something and All Things Must Pass. And because John particularly was having some troubles with the guitar part, so he laid a nice clear version, which I agree is really great.
Yeah,
on the anthology.
Yeah, one of the better anthology three tracks. Also a bonus track on the Abbey Road set, obviously, Take Two. That's a pretty fun listen. Slightly different line readings vocally from him. Now, there's a streaming screw up once again. If you go to the original Past Masters, you'll get the right track. If you go to the Past Masters updated version, for some reason, it's pulling this the Abbey Road Take Two. So, well, we've talked about this issue before. They need to get this stuff straight. It's ridiculous. And the hand wringing that goes online over this type of issue too is like, there you can't stream, like, for instance, the one Beatles mixes. Yeah. Now you can't stream them, and people get really upset and frustrated. I kind of agree. Like, put everything Beatles online, but put the appropriate, if we want to listen to the original, if we want to listen to the 87 mixes, we should be able to not have to pull our CDs off the shelf. We should have a streaming version of that. If you're going to have everything on streaming, you might as well have everything and have the appropriate things. So, and then of course, you know, the 2023 mix, the screw up. No, it's okay. But yeah, it is a mess up. And I'd hope that he would fix it at some point in some way. Now, we have to start with saying George played this live, recorded, put out on an album, and that's Live in Japan, 1991, with EC, your favorite.
Dave's favorite
backup vocalist.
We did a review of this album and talked about the Old Brown Shoe version, which I think, if I remember correctly, we said was a little tepid, a little weak sounding, and there were some background vocals going shoop shoo wah
do
do
do do, like in sort of cornally.
But it was cool that he included it in the set, so that was great. So we have a George live version.
The covers versions, the top three are all from these compilation albums. So we'll start with Leslie West. Leslie West, best known as the lead singer, guitarist of Mountain.
Yeah, who played at Woodstock, I think.
You're a big Mountain guy.
Oh, got all their albums.
He rocks Mississippi Queen all the time. And this was from the compilation album Songs from the Material World.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the most interesting cover version because it's got a Southern bar rock feel to it. So much longer and slower than, you know, the original. So pretty good there. The next one, you'll see I was mining my cassette tape collection, man.
Oh boy.
Dave. And there it is.
Procol Harum.
Best of Procol Harum. I Whiter Shade of Pales on this.
Conquistador.
A Salty Dog, of course.
Oh,
So the lead singer of Procol Harum, Gary Brooker, was the person who got the tap on the shoulder to do it at the concert for George. I've always really liked Gary Brooker's voice. Obviously, still got my cassette. Didn't throw it away. He's also a keyboardist, so he's on piano for this. And it is a larger band, you know, it's a big show, so larger band treatment. So you get some saxophone and some things like that.
And you get AC
in there, and you get AC, of course. So,
yeah.
And then there's from George Fest, A Night to Celebrate the Music of George Harrison, Conan O'Brien.
Whoa.
I really like the Conan O'Brien version. You know, his frantic energy kind of matches the energy of this song of, like, he's a little crazy and
yeah
he really commits to the song, and it's a really good version of the song. So check that one out. Okay, so we have a few other ones, mostly not great. Chuck Mead. This one's just got a very, very, if you want your Old Brown Shoe with extremely loud organ on it, then
I don't
that one out. There's a one I have nothing to say about, except for the guy's name is John Tobacco.
Like John spelled like tobacco. Yeah.
T-A-B-A-C-C-O.
Oh, okay.
Tobacco.
Great.
Eric Myers, a weird version, no piano at all. Very weird. Rough playing.
Who are these people?
Eric Myers from his album Horseface and Other Love Songs.
Ooh.
And then probably my favorite, Laptop Instrumental from the Beatles Instrumental Collection Volume 2. It's kind of an old school MIDI sounding and really rough in parts. really worth a listen for a laugh. At one point, there's no drums, and then there's a drum fill comes in. Like, what the hell is going on? So, but it reminded me of all the, like, when we were in college in the MIDI.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuff of the time, you know. So, so that's it for the cover version. So,
it's kind of a hard song to cover, I think, because it's really distinctive that it's a very George kind of tune, and the lyrics are kind of quirky, and musically it's challenging. It's not easy to play either.
Much easier to just do cover Hello Goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, great tune. I have always loved it. Big thumbs up. One of my favorite George Beatle songs, and just whenever it comes on, it's just a cool thing to hear. So we'll do a very quick summary. We had the release of the Record Store Day 2 days ago, and we're recording, and you have a little rant here.
What is your understanding of the purpose of Record Store Day, Dave?
It's to support local record stores and
Support record. So it's like, hey, my local shop, I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to give you money.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm going to buy your product. That's my thought.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you say if somebody stands in line for an hour and a half? My record store here locally, I'm not going to name it because I do have some things to say about it. But my record store here locally, there was a long line that I got in an hour and a half ahead of time.
What time did it open?
It opened at 9. Okay. I got in line at 7:30.
Wow. That's early.
I had four records I most definitely had to have. A David Bowie one and a Talking Heads one being the top two. The
other Ringo's EP?
Well, I'll get to all that. I'll get to all that. So I stand in line for, and then there was a fifth album that as they give you a list and then you check what you want on the list so that they make it easy kind of go through, right? So I check my one, and then I find another one that I might want. I check that one. That was the only one they had in stock by the time I got in there. So why are you even having Record Store Day? If I want records, I stand in line for the records, I waste 2.5 hours of my life, and instead of getting the records I want, I get nothing. I didn't support my local record store. I got annoyed by my local record store. I got ticked off they didn't order enough, or I got ticked off that Record Store Day didn't provide them enough. I don't know exactly how that works, but I was incensed. I was like, that's me. Okay. I can live with it.
This happened to you before?
It's happened where you miss, like, oh, well, we're out of that one.
Like one, maybe.
Yeah. Or two. One or two, but not like nothing on my list is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I end up buying like one I wasn't even intending on buying just to save face for the waste of time that, and by the way, it was like 32 degrees here yesterday too.
So it was cold.
Here's the thing. I also saw other people. Many other people go up, they give their list, nothing.
Nothing.
They just walk right out of the store. What are we doing here? What is the purpose of this damn thing? If people can't get the records that they can't get any records and go online, go to eBay 10 minutes later.
Yeah. They're all there
and they're all like jacked up price.
Yep. Yep.
It's disgusting.
It's become, disgusting. It's maybe, do you think it's run its course? Might be like, we don't need this thing anymore because it's become like a secondary market sale and it's lost the whole purpose.
Yeah, I think so. And I'm whatever people want. I saw a guy there spend like $600 just buying like every last thing.
Did he buy the Beatles record player?
No, I did see someone buy the Beatles record player. I saw that there be, and this was someone in line after me. So somebody wanted this thing, and it's a cute little thing. So maybe they wanted it as a collectible for their thing. That's fine. And then they did have the little records, and I saw someone else purchase just the little records because maybe he had a previous record player and didn't want the full set. So that's fine. But I also, as I was checking out, saw a lot more still on the shelf. And then when I went home, out of curiosity, I saw each of those for like $200 online. Mm. It's ridiculous. I also wasn't interested in the Ringo to pay $31 for four tracks, for four Ringo tracks, especially. No, thank you. And obviously we also got the John Lennon. Not only is going to make you pay if you're one of these Uber collectors, this was like, to me, it was like a middle finger to you in that you're not only going to have to pay $31 for the black vinyl, but you're also going to have to pay $31 for a glow in the dark vinyl. What are you going to do with that, Dave? So it was ridiculous. And then the best of the Beatles releases probably were the George. I mean, they're not great albums. They're the two early experimental George albums, but they had the Zoetrope thing, which is very cool. And there's some videos online of that. And I would suggest you go take a look at that. By the way, the tracks, if you've heard any of the tracks of the Ringo or the, I haven't heard any of the Ringo tracks. I haven't listened to them yet.
They released the title track. I've listened to February Sky a couple
times. Oh, I did. I did listen to February Sky. Not bad.
Yeah.
But and we'll talk fully, obviously, here in a few weeks when the Ringo comes out. It's just a lot of peripheral, weird releases rather than stuff that would be really great, like a live album of two discs of live album or something.
Even
like
a McCartney live album or something different recently.
I've got news about McCartney live album.
Okay.
I don't think you may have not heard the news, but we have big news about the McCartney
album. Oh, we do. Yeah. So, all right. So Record Store Day was a bust.
Record Store Day was a bust. Now, I just want to caveat this with, I got in my car. I came back home all upset. And I got in my car. I drove up to Evanston to a different record store that I know about, that I know is not as popular. And I did get my David Bowie and I did get my Talking Heads. I didn't get the other two releases that I wanted, but still the day as a whole was a frustration.
Yeah.
And that's my thing is I have to stand in line. I don't like being in line.
Cold, 32 degrees. Talk.
I don't like having idiots walk who are just walking on the street.
You know, what's this long line for?
And then you tell them like records and they look like, oh, really? It's like, get lost, dude. Yeah. Move on your day.
And it's even more fun when it's 32 degrees.
Yeah. So I think I'm done with I mean, if I miss a record or two now, I think I'm just going to have to live with it because I can't deal with this. And it's just, it made me dislike my local record store and leave my local record store sad and disappointed. And that's not what Record Store Day should be.
Record Store Day
should be me supporting my local record store. So we've accomplished the opposite of the intention of the day. So that was my rant.
Well, very good rant. I appreciate it. As someone who doesn't participate in Record Store Day, it's interesting to hear. But maybe you'll be enticed to go back to your local record store if they have this live album that I know you're going to talk about. I know what you're going to mention here from the 70s with the One Hand Clapping, right?
This is Paul McCartney Wings, One Hand Clapping, full show on CD and vinyl and special online only. Vinyl plus 7-inch. So this is going to be released. I believe the release day is June 14th, but I couldn't be more excited about a release.
Yeah.
Because we've heard many of these tracks way back when. Got Band on the Run Deluxe Edition. It came with a DVD so you could watch One Hand Clapping, but now we can listen to it. We can just listen to it as an album on streaming, on CD, on vinyl. Very great. I couldn't, and there's a lot of really good stuff on it. Really good takes of Jet. I've talked a lot about the Jet. And
yep.
Let's see what's on here. There's Power Cut version. Power Cut. You get a live, very early version of I'll Give You a Ring. Like very interesting stuff, as well as all of the era stuff of, you know, Maybe I'm Amazed and Jet and Bluebird and Band on the Run and Live and Let Die. And I mean,
the standards.
Yeah. This is what we've been waiting for, dude.
Yeah.
We don't need your third anniversary McCartney 3 release. We want this.
Even better than Underdubbed.
Yeah. It's
definitely better than that. Yeah. So and this one came out of nowhere. This was totally unexpected.
Yeah. And we'll certainly do a full review of it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that was announced too, the kind of mysteriously, but I think we all knew what it was that Let It Be is going to be streamed on Disney Plus.
That's right,
coming out. Yeah, the Beatles site posted just four blank squares, and it said there will be an answer or something like that.
Yeah.
No physical media yet being released that we know of.
It's
but there will be. I did end up actually buying the Get Back Blu-ray because I needed to use it for scholarly research. And I didn't want to. I thought, well, I want to have it on my own time and not pay a monthly subscription and just have it. So it was not that much afterwards. So it'll come out. Let It Be. It'll come out.
Yeah. And some of us, like me, have Disney Plus. I'll be doing the heavy lifting when we do the put them in the movies, Let It Be.
Exactly.
And when it comes out, I'm not sure if that's our next episode, but when it comes out, we'll watch it. And I'll watch the new restored. It's restored. It's been done. Everything that was done to the sound, at least, of the Get Back was done to Let It Be to improve it. Now, visually, I heard, we wanted to still make it seem like a movie and still be the film and still be the original kind of feel of the film. So I think that there'll be less of that. There were a couple times in the Get Back sessions that things looked a little treated and plastic. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any of that kind of thing. So,
no, there was an interview in the New York Times with Michael Lindsay Hogg, and he talked about working with Peter Jackson and how they did a before and after A/B comparison of some of the Let It Be frames, and he said it's still the same movie, it just looks a lot better, and it's not he said, like, he talked about how there were clumps of hair, beetle hair, in one point, and now you could almost see the strands. So it's just like just much better clarity. But he said it's still the same movie and nothing's changed. So,
well, many of us have never seen it on any kind of like good quality release. It's always this grainy,
VHS
or VHS copy that like wasn't wasn't really well done. One more piece of news. Out of nowhere, Danny Harrison, another release.
Oh, yeah. I saw that the other day on Friday.
Hunhur 2, Carmen Rizzo, Danny Harrison, new album, Dreamers in the Field, out now. It's a 7-track album. It's very new age sounding, very instrumental, just like the Sean Onalinna. Maybe Oh, Sean's got an instrumental album. I've got to get one.
Yeah.
Some drone Indian music elements, but a real mix. I haven't really listened to the whole thing, so I don't want to say too much about it. But of course, you can go to DannyHarrison.com and you can go to any of your streaming services. It's there. So nice little surprise there to get another release. And then, of course,
yep,
Sean Olin Lennon and James McCartney come together.
We've got an updated Lennon-McCartney partnership here on a song that we don't know. We talked about the song last time in the episode. So what's it called?
This one is Primrose Hill.
Primrose Hill. Okay.
And I love it.
It was good.
I think it's really good. And maybe the best James McCartney related thing he's ever released. So perhaps, are we building up a Beatles 2.0?
I wonder. It's kind of looking like that. Interesting. So we have some follow-ups from our last episode with Danny and Sean and James.
In the last episode, I had said, boy, if these guys ever get together. Well, this was not even the two I was talking about. This is Sean and James McCartney, who we've reviewed many of James McCartney's thing, and is a lesser of artist of the bunch.
Yeah,
but not terrible. But immediately the two of them get together, the press
goes crazy.
Article after article after article. One from 23 hours ago, one from 3 hours ago, one from one day ago on my screen. So
eating it up. Yeah.
So, but I enjoyed it very much. So I'm sure I'll listen to it again.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and is that building to a full James McCartney album?
That's what it seems like to me.
So we'll put a James McCartney album under the microscope.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait. Well, in the meantime, go listen to Old Brown Shoe again and check that
out. Support your local record store now when there's no big line and you can actually buy something that you'd like to buy at the store.
Yeah, exactly.
So
well, very good. Very good. Well, thanks as always for listening, and we will be back at you soon with a new episode.